5 minutes past 11 on this Friday, the 10th of February, and it's time to welcome back into studio our dynamic duo of Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
And Fanuda Rabbit. I need to come up with some words for you as well. I don't know.
Awesome. There we go. Never wrong. That's another one I like to say.
Accurate, honest. These are good descriptions.
Good words. Right. We want you involved in the conversation out in Radio Land, or if you're watching us as well, you can text or WhatsApp 08660. Tell us 1000. 086 60 21000. Tell us what you're watching or what you've been doing for fun. What? 086 60 25000. Do you know, I read that number out a million times a year.
It's a Friday. Yep. It's definitely.
07491 25000. I skipped breakfast. That's if you want to call us, by the way. It's amazing, really, how it can affect your mind. Okay. Michael, yes. Have I got all of your list here?
Yes.
Okay, it's very small.
Yeah, but we don't ever get to anything anyway. We only pick one or two things, so I just...
Wow.
You know,
that's kind
fairness,
of like an executive decision.
In fairness, it seemed like it was just as well to just keep to...
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Should we start with something on regular telly, Vera? What do you think, Fanula? That's on your list, isn't it? Sorry. Yes, Fanula?
No, it was on my list. It is on my list. I forgot all about it. Vera
that's
is back.
Friday, we'll cover
I know,
that as well,
in fairness. No, because it's not one of the new ones that's on my list. I apologize, because actually it started last week.
Okay, that's good.
But it's the new series of it, and it's season 12, and it's supposed to be the final series, even though they haven't officially said it. But in fairness to poor Brenda Blaine, getting in and out of that Jeep can be a bit... It's a lot. But it just... I had it down on it because it started back. It's season 12. It's been a while and we've kind of lost an awful lot of the sort of long-form detective stuff that's been going on. You know, there used to be Morse, there used to be Lewis. They all sort of finished Endeavour, which was...
Silent Witness.
The Silent Witness. It now only runs for a very short run. But... And it runs over the 2 days, whereas these are the ones that UTV do, and they're actually like a double up. So they run for the two hours and 20 minutes or whatever it is for the thing to, for the whole thing to go through. And that's exactly what Vera does. I love all these kind of detective-y drama things. MacDonald and Dodds is back on now as well.
So they're not going out of vogue.
It's just, well, a lot of them just came to an end.
Okay.
It was a thing.
Because Happy Valley, would you count that? That finished up during the week, though, last week, didn't it?
No, Happy Valley, you see, would be a different thing. It was always an hour long and it was always weekly.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right.
But what I'm saying is these are kind of like the big... The way they did them was nearly the way they did the old Agatha Christie's. The way they did the Poirot's. You never watched Poirot over 6 weeks, even back in the day when you watched everything week on week. If you look at, you know... Ken, if you have a day off and you're lying on your couch with your duvet, you will see on like the likes of Alibi or on the likes of the ITV 3 and 4, they've loads of this Agatha Christie and Poirot that are done back in the 80s and they're two and a half hour length stories. It was very unusual at the time for them to be that long instead of being week by week. Would you agree with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I know the type of thing. Yeah. The type of shows you're on about, yeah.
And it's just in this kind of detective genre and they've done these in the exact same way. You don't have... You literally sit there for like a movie.
Yeah.
So every week is like a movie, but there's 10, 12 episodes in every one of the series. And so Vera's done like that. It's absolutely fabulous. You can watch any of them back there. I've watched the whole series back, I'd say, about twice over the course of the 12 years that they've run it. But basically what it is, it's just this small... anybody who knows Brenda Blaine, the Irish actress, she's kind of like a, you know, short in stature, no more than myself, slightly rotund. And she would be of a mature years. And she is this kind of hard-nosed just detective. She just goes out there and
Soul's
does
crimes.
The job. Yeah, she's not a heavy drinker. She's not a heavy this. She doesn't have any major...
Is she miserable? Is there a misery in her backstory?
She's given 24 hours to crack the case?
No, it runs over the length of time that it runs, but the cases are actually always really interesting. They're both about stuff in the UK, and it's beautiful where it's set. I'm never 100% sure where it's set, but I think it's kind of like Yorkshire up around that area. It's
picturesque
stunning.
Murders.
It's absolutely stunning. And they're just really good to watch. That, as I said, season 12 is back on, but on ITV 3 and 4 and that kind of thing, you can watch the old ones. MacDonald and Dobbs is the same kind of thing, but it's like a modern day version.
It's just a safe pair of hands, isn't it? It's just a safe bit of programming.
Yes. It really is. You're gonna you'll sit down and you watch it and you just really enjoy it. There's a lot of red herrings.
I love MacDonald and Dobbs in particular. I think it's a fantastic show.
It's very smart. There's kind of a lot of smart writing in it. With the Vera, though, I have to say, you rarely start off the way you start off with who did it to who done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of flips and changes.
It's designed to throw you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cast, you know, there's a big lot of cast and stuff like that involved in it. So it's just a really good watch. That's why I like it.
Excellent. So that's Vera on ITV. In the theatre, Darkness Echoing.
Yes, I went over to see this in the Balor during the week. This is... I know, it's shocking.
It's too cold for you.
It was a drama group excursion. There was members of our
that's
drama.
That's even more painful.
We went.
Have you met anyone more dramatic than this lady?
Never. Even before I started my review, she was being dramatic. So, this is the Butt Drama Circle's new play for this season. They're about to go on the festival circuit. So they did a couple of nights, Wednesday and Thursday night, to get up and running. Sean Byrne is the man behind this. He, same as last year with Dave Cotter, he wrote it, he directed it, and he stars in it as well. He's a triple threat. If he gets out the banjo and does a song, he'd be a quadruple threat. I loved it. It's a great piece of theatre. I think it's better than last year's, and last year's was an award winning acclaimed production that went round the festival circuit and did very well. This one, it'll be in Enniskillen, it'll be in Strabane. The dates are up there, you can check them out. Basically, gentlemen,
is it original piece, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Sean wrote it. He wrote it. It was written a few years ago. It's set in 2015. So I think it was written around then as well. Chatting to him afterwards just for a few minutes. Very straightforward, high concept story. A man returns from London to find, much to his surprise, that his elderly father is much more seriously ill than he had realised. And he even has a home help coming in. And he lives in a cottage in the country. Our hero didn't realise any of that. And he has his own baggage to deal with. I won't go into it, but basically it's then the three characters and it follows their set number of weeks as he learns that his father is as I say very seriously ill, and how that impacts on both of them and the home help, the lady who's the home help. There were so many things I really didn't really enjoy about this script. I love Sean's grasp of language, his great ear for dialogue, etc., but I love the fact that all three of the characters have their stories and they all get a chance to tell their story and we get invested in all of them. I loved the couple hours I spent in that kitchen the other night. I really enjoyed it. I saw Dave Cotter twice. I hope to see this on the festival circuit again as well. I can only imagine. Well, I mean, it was brilliant. I thought it was sharp for a first night, but it'll get better and better, I'm sure. And I think they'll do very well on this festival circuit because, again, they have form. Sean did very well last year with Dave Cotter. So, huge thumbs up from me. As I said, it was in there for two nights and it's on the festival circuit and it'll be in Strabane, which is probably our closest, and then it's in Enniskillen and a few other festivals. They usually hit about 6-7 festivals, so they'll be in the Northwest coming now through February and March, and fingers crossed, I wish Butt all the very best.
Pardon my ignorance, do we host significant festivals?
We do. Here? We have the one acts. We host them in Letterkenny. That's what has been happening.
Is
here.
Is it only one acts now?
Only one acts.
It's a Ballyshannon as well, though.
Ballyshannon, yeah.
To you, that's like South Mexico. You're a townie, but actually, they've got believe it or not, it is part of Donegal.
They've got their accents and all that kind of stuff, yeah, and their big brimmed hats. But you're talking about hosting the festival, right? That's what
any
you mean.
Any festival, like do drama. Do, other than one act, do...
Well, we don't host three act festivals in Letterkenny. You're okay. Ask away.
Three actors.
It means it's a two-hour play.
So what's one act then?
A one-act play is a half-hour play, roughly. Okay. Roughly. I'm bending the rules, but it could be 45 minutes. I think rule is something like 50. But so short play. So when the one-act festival is in Letterkenny, which I rarely miss, I love it. You go along and you see maybe three. You see three different, completely different plays on the night, on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. So you get nine plays of a weekend from all over the country. We do the
and
all
if that's your thing, this is, oh, this yeah, is it's just brilliant. Funny to a bee. Okay.
Big time.
So you're highly recommending Dark
I am. I really am. I mean, obviously, I know JC, but I know these people. But I'm being honest. I mean, I really did enjoy it. I think it was better, maybe even better than Dave Cotter. It'd be interesting to chat to people. The gang from our drama group went over. We were sitting outside afterwards. We were like, wow, like that's so good on the first night. What's it going to be like on the third, fifth, seventh, ninth night? It's a really sharp production and it deserves to do well.
Lorna says, hi, Greg and Friday gang. Haven't watched Vera for a while, as repeats. I love her. Must watch again. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. No, it's one of those solid things. It's just when it's on, you can sit down. Scratch, exactly. Yeah. The Ballyshannon Festival, just when you asked I checked it out there. It's on the end of March.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. It's only down the road.
Fantastic must-see productions listed below. So you can actually go online and see what they're going to have on. It's on from the 11th to the 19th of March.
Right, so Happy Valley did wrap up. It's not a show I've watched. If you are a big fan, tell us how. Are you happy with the ending?
I shot myself in the foot with it. I decided I'd go back and rewatch it because it's so long. Yeah. It was a huge gap. And it's on Netflix. You can watch the earlier ones.
Because there's three series, but they took many years off between them, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah. There is, yeah. So I said, oh no, I won't watch this. And now everybody I know that's watching it
spoiled it.
No, they absolutely are dying to spoil it because apparently it was amazing.
Wow. The acting in Happy Valley was the best I've watched in a long time. Yeah. Very good, but too long.
Oh.
So is that goes out weekly, doesn't it?
It does, and it finished, and it was only six episodes.
Right, okay. Well,
that's amazing. The first even partially negative thing I've heard about it.
Yeah.
People on Twitter, again, I follow various, there's a guy I follow, writes for the Radio Times, etc., raved about it. Mm. Raved about it. They were really singing its praises and saying what a fantastic...
Two of my family members called me to discuss episode 4.
Yeah.
And
you didn't time this very well at all, did you? Huh? You didn't time this very well at all with rewatching and.
I know. I kind of forgot it was coming. You know the way he's in, and then.
But it shouldn't take you long to. You're the queen of you'd watch those. You'd get up at 5 a.m. watch the first season and be in for work.
You see, I know what I find, and I'm sure it's the same with Fionnuala and everyone else. There's periods in your life where you're astonished how much you can.
Like the 1970s.
And then there's other periods of your life, and you wonder, you can't even get time to switch the TV on.
Just little things happen.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, I'll go to you again because you actually bothered to write a list out for Fionnuala. Beauty and the Beast 30th anniversary. That's a big deal for a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, it is for me. On numerous levels.
A lot of person.
I love Beauty and the Beast. It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Is the original one?
Do not push me. I have power in this organisation. I will sack you.
Also, pick a different fight. She might not just sack you.
Oh, could be worse.
You might end up in a sack.
You would definitely. Beauty and the Beast is an awesome. The original one, now I'm talking the original cartoon version that Disney put out. I actually thought it was way older than 30 years.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was
30s, I would have said. 40s, something like that.
I would have thought it was. Oh, no, it definitely wasn't that far back because they didn't.
No, I would have guessed it.
Yeah, but they didn't have the ability to do it. That was it, as in the Walt Disney himself came up with was involved in the original kind of idea of what they were going
to do
with
it
and how they would do it, but they didn't have the technological advances and the animators.
So is this one of the first done then in that animated style in the long format?
I think it might. Well, because Cinderella is a very old one.
Very old,
that would have been back in the day. Beauty and the Beast is just one that kind of hung around, and then all of a sudden then it kind of, in the 80s, it got looked at by Disney, and then they put it out. And
can I just say one thing before you go any further? The 80s was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Is it not more?
It's 40 years ago now.
40 years ago, yeah.
That's scary.
I know.
I remember when I was younger, I'm still pretty, a bit of a nipper, but
you totally
a long
are.
Time ago, you know, like say in the early 90s, like a long time ago would have seemed the 50s.
Yes.
It would have seemed like a different era. It would have seemed like,
it would. Completely.
Do you know where I'm trying to get at? And now here we are, and this is the reality of life in 2023, talking about the 80s, and for people, of 28,
people in this building were not alive then.
Do you work that out?
All the time.
But isn't it? It's just amazing how you become your parents, or
you merge into the
you don't just become them because then that reality hits you.
That's the thing. Us at this age now are the same age that our parents were in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
It, as that's
in,
your experience.
When we thought, you know what I mean? Yeah. When we thought, and when you were, we were all young teenagers going, oh my God.
Like, I watched a radio.
Your eyes at them.
I was watching a really old episode or something, or what I thought to be really old. And they were on laptops with flat screen monitors and regular sized mobile phones. And in my head, I thought this was.
It's an old thing.
This was. But.
I know.
I've lived with a lot of that technology. It's crazy just how it creeps up on
it creeps
you.
Up. One of the things
or
I always think of is,
in the face, doesn't creep like, up at all.
In the late 70s, early 80s, I would have been watching Happy Days, you know, Fonzie and all those guys. And it was set in the 50s. And that seemed like so long ago to like 10, long time ago. Yeah. But then in the 90s, we had That 70s Show, which was set obviously 20 years earlier. And it didn't seem so bad. But now we have That 90s Show, brand new on Netflix, which I love. It was on the list for a couple of weeks. And I can
talk about it now.
We can talk about it.
But
the thing is, it's set in the 90s, and I'm low. It's exactly like you just said. It's like, what? That's not long ago.
I think the 90s.
That's not 20 years ago.
I think I was the exact same in the 90s as I am now. I genuinely believe that to be the case.
I do, yeah.
But clearly not.
Yeah. Well,
I feel if we asked people around you, they would think probably differently.
Oh, I know for a fact. But it's me has to live alone in this head of mine.
I know.
Well, I have a... Like, my relationship with time is such that in 1994, to VHS tape, recorded the last episode of the Planet of the Apes TV show. And I thought to myself, well, it's the last episode. I'll keep that for a while before I watch it. And one of these days, I'm going to watch that episode.
You have problems, mental
that is
health
daft.
Problems.
Yeah, it is.
But
daft.
It hasn't been that long. It's only
back
been
to more
it's 7 years.
Back
years
on to
ago.
Beauty and the Beast, 30th anniversary of Beauty and the Beast. Look, it's absolutely fabulous. I love it. It's, to be honest, for me, not growing up, I was a teenager then, and it was one of my favourite movies. It was the movie all through the 90s when you wanted to have a day lying on the couch and you weren't feeling well. There you go. I think I got the DVD shipped in from Japan because you couldn't buy them anywhere else.
That was as close as you could get to illegally streaming it.
Exactly. I had to get it shipped
in. That's impressive. Cutting edge.
I absolutely loved it. But because you couldn't get it anywhere else, Disney didn't sell their catalogue only at certain times.
That's right.
They would only release them for like a year and then stop. So these were always very hard to get stuff. This, even better with this is that this is the 30th anniversary. So what they're doing is they're going through the kind of the main points of it in the movie and the main songs and that kind of thing. They're also talking a little bit about how it was made, but it's all done in still a lovely way that you can kind of really enjoy it. And Josh Groban plays does the Beast, and in fairness, he's awesome. His voice is so amazing. So he's singing the songs from the Beast. There's lots of other different people in it. Her, which I think, is it H.E.R? Is that just pronounced Her?
Having a clue.
Well, she is some hip hop lady.
I presume it's just called Her, yeah.
Yeah. So she is does the voice of Beauty in it. Amazing voice as well. Shania Twain is in it. She's taken over from Angela Lansbury. So it's just one of those little things. You can have it on when you're kind of doing your few bits and pieces. Get all nostalgic about Beauty and the Beast.
That's all right, awesome. Okay. And lots of people will. Okay. And you know, it'll introduce it to a new audience, as always happens with stuff that stands the test of time.
That's the truth, yeah.
Yeah, it's much better than because they keep doing these things down live, you know. Instead of the animation now, they're doing it with real people. Go back to the animation.
So, to be clear, Beauty and the Beast 30th anniversary, have they made it again? It's a remake.
No. But what it is it's like a mix of the original footage, new footage, and then they have like live dancers, live singers, and all that kind of stuff in it together.
Yeah, that's structured.
So it's kind of like how they did, but it's actually just really... You get the whole feel of the story because it flows through the story, but it shows you like clips from the original guys doing the music, the original people that did the animation, that kind of thing as well.
A caller says, watch Jared Butler's new movie, Plane. Now, this keeps popping up on my For You page, let me call it that. Their review of it is as follows. A good popcorn movie where he plays a Scottish airline captain trying to save his passengers after being taken hostage in Asia. Best line in the movie is when his co-pilot asks him if he is English. Okay, so I'm probably like asking a person from Canada if they're American.
Yeah.
That's it might be a good weekend film.
I'd quite like to see it.
It keeps popping up.
Seems like a good action-y kind of thing, you know. Yeah.
He did all those London's Burning or London's Down or...
Yeah, Has Fallen. And, that Has Fallen, And Mike Coulter
is
really
sure what the relationship between those films is. You know, London's White House Down, London's
I think it's just him. He's the relationship.
He's
the same.
Really, he's the character. Yeah.
He's.
It is the same character.
I love this from a guy who's watched every season of episode of 24, and you think Gerard Butler. Times. You think Gerard Butler's just unlucky. I mean, that's seriously,
quite true. That is quite true. What a bad day. Yes.
I mean,
okay.
The other guy, and you find 24 utterly believable, but Gerard Butler.
I'd love
like,
to start it again.
24 is believable.
It's literally a documentary.
It is, I agree.
All right, we're in the company of Michael and Fionnuala for That's Entertainment on a Friday. A caller says, my satellite dish decided to fly away in high winds, which they do tend to do because they get a bit rusty, don't they? But anyway, there's a happy ending to this story.
Oh, okay.
So I've been watching YouTube and found a great wee series of movies from 1939 called Jackie Chan. Or Charlie Chan, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I didn't realise they were that advanced back then. Great quality video. So I suppose back then, this is almost about us losing a wee bit track of time. 1939, you know, Hollywood and cinema was quite, yes. You know, it was getting more and more advanced at that
there
point.
There are a number of series, detective series, like Boston Blackie, Mr. Moto, The Thin Man, The Falcon, The Saint, Sherlock Holmes movies, they're all from the 30s, the 40s. Some of them had like 14 movies in the series.
Search
like
them on Blackie. YouTube.
They're on YouTube. The Whistler, they're on YouTube. They're really good. They're really, really good. Mr. Moto, if you like Charlie Chan, you'll like Mr. Moto.
All right, okay. I want to say a quick hello now to Madeline McDade, who's a director and actor with Determined Drama Club. And back on stage after quite a break, Madeline. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you? And thank you very much for having me on.
No, it's great to have you on. Right, so tell us what's coming up in Kilmacrennan.
So on Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th and Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of February, the Determined Drama Group are back on stage with a production of I'm the One from You from Jim Creary. So it's very funny, and anybody who needs a good laugh, come along and support us. We would appreciate it very much. Our night on Saturday the 25th of February is in aid of the Irish Air Ambulance, Dr. Jerry Lane's emergency vehicle, and appreciation of the work they've done in the recent Chrysler tragedy.
Talk to us, and it couldn't go to a more worthy cause. Talk to us about the plot of this show, I'm the One for You. Please, Madeline.
It's set in a country farmhouse, and the owner of the house is Mr. Jerry O'Malley, played by Henry Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry has a very facetious housekeeper called Dory Sinnott, who is after Jerry, but a newcomer comes into town, who's myself, Ruth Hickey, and I'm a very posh divorcee who also takes a shine for Jerry O'Malley. And there's another farmer, Jack O'Dowd, who has a shine for Dory. And then we have a very upcoming daughter, very business, influential businesswoman of Jerry O'Malley, and her husband. And it's all mixture, and it's very funny and very good. And then you throw in the nosy next door neighbour who happens to be Dory Sinnott's best friend, Mona, and she's played by Deirdre Gallagher, so she needs no introduction to stage. She's well equipped to be there.
Brilliant stuff, and it sounds like there's a great bit of situation, comedy and what have you in there. It sounds like it's well set up for that. If people want to get tickets, Madeline, how do they do so?
Well, the tickets are on sale in the Millbridge shop, Kilmacrennan, and I'd like to thank the staff there for selling the tickets for us. They're also on sale in Gracie Stores. That's the shop beside the Lagoon in Termin. I work there myself, so I just want to thank my boss and my workmates for selling the tickets for me.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can contact me. If anybody knows me on Facebook, they can send me a message on Facebook, or the Termin Drama Group have their own Facebook page. So if anyone would like to message them, they can contact us there, and I'll sort them out with tickets, no problem at all. The only thing is, Saturday the 25th is now sold out.
Well done, that's good.
The night that we're doing for the charity is now sold out. But I am going to be running a hamper in association with that night. I'm going to have it up in the shop in Termin. If anybody wants to buy a line, all the donations, everything in the hamper has been donated by local businesses who I thank as well. And we're going to put all that money towards the night on Saturday the 25th as well.
And just remind us of the nights that tickets are still available.
They're available for Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th. And they're available for Sunday the 26th.
All right, well done, Madeline. I'm sure you are all very excited to get back on the stage too after the enforced break. So I'm sure you are all buzzing with that as well. Well done and best of luck with you to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
It's our pleasure. Madeline McDay, director and actor there, Terman Drama Club. They're all very excited, of course, to be back on stage. I think it's the first one since COVID. So that's good to see. When is that Beauty and the Beast thing on? My 18-year-old is obsessed with it and it sounds just up her street. Thank you.
Oh, it's on Disney. So you can go on to Disney.
Whenever you want
like
to watch
we
it.
Said, whenever you want to watch it. You can get the free trial or sign up, log on to Disney
someone
for
else's
a while.
Account.
Yeah, do in fairness. If anybody knows somebody called Daniella, please let me know, because apparently I've given them my Disney passwords. I don't know who they are.
For real?
For real. I've no idea. It just suddenly popped up and I'm like, who are they?
They created an actual user profile.
Yes, they did.
Can you not go in and see what they're watching and try and profile them and see if you
like it?
I do. It's
I
a
like
mix
it.
Of things. It's a mix. It's the same kind of stuff that I'd be watching. So I'm like,
are you sure you're not sleepwalking?
Yeah, is it you?
I'm you know yourself as
Disney.
Daniella at night and you dress in...
It's
18th century.
That's the best explanation I've had
it's
for
the most plausible.
Because I have no idea who these people are.
Happy New Year to you all. Oh, that's from Madeline. Thank you. Sorry, that's the piece of information that was with Madeline. Slow Horses on Apple. Another one whereby, and as I say, I'd be a big advocate if, you know, especially in this day and age, do 2 months with one of these crews. Do 2 months. You know what I mean? Because there's not enough stuff on any of them individually. I personally don't think, right? Mm. Go from Apple. Let's not be brand loyal to these people. Go for Apple. No. Do a bit of Amazon. Do a bit of Disney. Do you know what I mean? Switch it around. Allocate yourself your $9.99 a month. By the time you get back to the beginning, you've got a whole new plethora of stuff to watch.
If you like a good drama, the Apple seems to be really concentrating on on serious drama. They have a lot of detective-y kind of mystery things, but just some really good drama.
Great stuff, I think, yeah.
Right, one of them, Slow Horses.
But you're right, because one of the lads I share the house with, he switched now from Netflix to Amazon.
Yeah,
and
he's
loving it.
And then tried Disney and then tried Apple.
Yeah, but he just loves all that. And there's some things that... that he missed from Netflix that are on Amazon. He's delighted. He's really
I think
happy.
The only one with an identity... up until now, and I want them to correction because I haven't watched them all. Disney does have kind of an identity, doesn't it? I think it has a target. I don't think it's as general a streaming service as some of the others.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think?
Well, because it's actually technically
well known.
It's three different television stations in the US.
I don't think they're very good at pushing what I might like to watch.
They don't really have that. They're not great at giving, although, in fairness, I don't really think that Netflix is as good as it was in the beginning.
No.
Whether
no,
there's
it's
so
not.
Much
no.
content. But
no.
in the beginning, Netflix used to pop stuff up all the time and you would like, ooh, and odds are you'd like it. It was upsetting to think how much they knew me. But but Disney
or Daniella.
Is not great with that. You do have to kind of search Disney a small bit for stuff. They're not great at kind of promoting the stuff that they have.
It always seems to be behind a click.
It is because of the fact that there's I think it's at least four different, because they have their Disney stuff, then they have their Marvel stuff.
Star.
Then they have Star, which is most of their dramas. You can find Grey's Anatomy and a lot of those kind of
TV,
shows.
Or stuff that goes out on ordinary TV in America, like Big Sky and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do. They have all that kind of stuff on it. They have all the NCISs, all that, you know.
Never come across them. I am going to have to dig in a bit deeper.
That's the thing about it is stuff only kind of comes up if you've watched previous, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Stuff will pop up in it, but it is absolutely massive. The more you dig into Disney...
There's a lot of stuff there. There is a lot of stuff
because
there.
Because it's got so many different things in it. It's definitely worth
it. Disney own the ABC network, so they have... That's where you have Grey's Anatomy and all those shows. So they have that...
Chicago PD and all
they
those.
Have
you know
that...
Kind of like
yeah, they have that... That what's the word I'm looking for? Catalogue. They have the back catalogue.
Right.
All those shows.
Okay, let's switch to Apple then.
Apple,
Slow Horses. So make sure if you've got an iPhone and a contract that you're not getting Apple for free and you don't realize it. But go ahead.
Because they bundle a lot of these things in. Yeah. This is an action thriller, espionage series with Gary Oldman, who has announced recently that he's on the verge of retirement. He wants to do a lot of other things besides
act. On the verge of retirement.
he has specific plans.
The only thing we're on the verge of.
So he feels that this is his swan song, and he's quite happy to do a few series of this and wrap it all up. This is based on a series of novels by a guy called Mick Herron is his name. He's written 8 novels on this series and 5 novellas. And the TV show has been, and this is what brought me to this TV show, Graham Yost is the guy behind the show. He's the guy behind Justified. He's the guy behind Boomtown, one of the great cop shows of the last 20 years. Love. So once I saw that Graham Yost was doing a show, I was all over this. And I'm giving this every episode. I finished season 1 last night. Every episode is 10 out of 10 for me. It's one of the 2 best things I'm watching this year, along with The Bear.
So who likes it? What other shows do I like to watch this?
24 is a good one to compare it to. So basically, I'll tell you the story without any major spoilers. It's set in a place called...
See, I need a little side hustle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just bring you in.
I need a side hustle to watch. Do you know when I have time to watch?
Oh, you need some. Well, 6 episodes. Only 6 episodes in the season. Slough House is where MI5 agents get sent when they've made a mistake. So one of them, for instance, sent a joke about his boss on the inter-office email. And because of that joke, his career is over. Basically, and he's shunted off to this place called Slough House. And they make these agents, these guys have not done something bad enough to be fired, but they're never going to advance inside MI5. So they make them do mundane tasks. Like they come in and they say, okay, you have to go through all the parking tickets in Birmingham for 2002 and spot any trends. And they have to spend like days doing this kind of stuff. So Gary Oldman is the guy in charge of Slough House. He hates everybody in it. If you think of Gregory House and the way he was always insulting his people, this guy is like to the max. It's like Gregory House to the max 10. It's a really funny series as well. It's really funny. So basically, one of the agents, a guy called Carmichael, we're invested in him. We can see from the first episode that he actually didn't make the mistake that he was accused of. Someone else blamed him and he got shunted off to Slough House. He's been given a very...
You keep saying Slough?
Slough, S-L-O-U-G-H, they call it Slough House.
Slow written here, okay, go ahead.
So basically what happens is, well, slow horses is what they call the guys who work there. Yeah. They're slow horses, they're not good enough to do any mean work, you know, whatever. His job in the show starts is he has to go through the trash of a right-wing journalist. That's how he starts the show. And it's just, he's not expected to find anything, it's just to let the journalist know that there's someone going through his trash or whatever. And at the same time, a young boy, teenager of Pakistani background, is kidnapped by a right-wing extremist group. And in 24 hours, they're going to assassinate him. So the whole season is 24 hours. They basically have to get him before they kill him live on camera. And our guy has found something in the trash. But no one's going to listen to him because
he's
in Slough House. So basically, everybody scrambles through the night. It runs through that evening, through the night. Everything goes, one of the team is killed, the guys have to go on the run, there's traitors in their midst. The villain is one of the best villains, the most manipulative, smart, incredible villain. The story is self-contained at the end of the 6 episodes, but the final couple of minutes have 2 major twists. One of them I sort of predicted.
I'm just going to be watching this whole waiting for the twist now. I'm going to have to wait now until I forget what you've just said before I can watch this.
And they're setting up season 2. So season 2 is already up there. Season 3 and 4 have...
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, yeah, you can watch the 12 episodes.
I'll just see in the middle of the 2 seasons.
Yeah, so basically season 1, season 2 are up there. Season 3 and season 4, I think, are either filmed or in the process, but they're coming...
It must be rubbish if I've never heard of it.
It's highly claimed.
A lot of people have said to me that I should watch it.
Rotten Tomatoes, it has 97% from critics and 93%
That's my next watch.
It's
Slow a weird horses. Thing about Apple, which is that even though so many people have Apple phones and would at some point or another been given free access to it, people don't seem to be going on to it as much as they should.
They should,
with
yeah.
some of the high quality like, stuff that
I'm giving
doing.
That absolutely 10 out of 10 every week.
Brilliant, okay.
But it's not even Apple's best show.
No, they've loads of stuff. I mean,
it's not. Ted Lasso or For All Mankind. For All Mankind.
You always love that one.
For All Mankind is the best thing they have.
There's
it's amazing.
There's some loads. That prison one is in it. What's the one that you like? The one where they put
Michael
the guy...
Michael Flatley's film.
No, the... Yes, Blackbird. Yes, not Michael Patton.
Yeah,
but that's what you remember. Blackbird's on it.
Yeah.
Everybody's always raving about that.
That's a great show.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Love.
So Slow Horses, watch it.
Octavia Spencer has an awesome show about like podcasting. You know, she has a podcast and she's like, goes into...
What's that one called?
I don't know. I need to find it. It's so long since I've seen it.
Show the podcast.
This girl, she is a podcaster.
And she stumbles upon
stories. And it's about the stories and that she tells.
I'm definitely going to watch some Slow Horses this week.
It's
Apple, and it's to stream at your leisure.
Yeah.
Greg, Madeleine McDade is an amazing woman. This year, she's the director, the ticket organiser, the PRO and actress. On top of this, she works full-time. Thank you from the cast of I'm the One for You. Again, I was referencing these many individuals that we have, not just in Donegal, but elsewhere as well, that just do amazing stuff in the community. It's astonishing. Kevin from Dunloe, good morning to you. Hi, Greg and TV Duo. Down to the last episode of The White Lotus. It's been a slow but wacky watch. Mm. But having watched Jennifer Coolidge at the Globes, she's facing her own Greek tragedy. By the way, Greg, E.T. was 40 years ago too, but thankfully phone lines have improved.
It took a second for me to get that.
It must be an awful thing actually making films now with phones. Not that it's a direct reference to that, because you always have to give an excuse as to why the phone doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because it solves so many
problems. Yeah.
We want to talk about a weather event or potential weather event that a lot of people out there are talking about. And Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather Channel joins us now to discuss this. Good morning, Alan. Thanks for your time again this Friday morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Right. Okay. So, listen. Paper never refuses ink, and I'm reading an awful lot of stories about something that's happening now, happened before the East, a beast from the East, and that it could be replicated and we could see some extreme weather. So let's break it down. What is happening in our stratosphere now that happened before Beast of the East and the relationship to the weather and all that kind of stuff, Alan?
Yeah, so we have what's called sudden stratospheric warming, or just SSW for that mouthful, which basically means that temperatures in the stratosphere are increasing or going to increase in the next week, which creates a different kind of scenario in the pole, on top of the polar vortex up in the stratosphere. So when the temperature changes dramatically, it can reverse the winds, which is what we call a major sudden stratospheric warming event. In simple terms, things very high up in the atmosphere are going in reverse, are going to go in reverse. Now, the thing about it is that did happen in 2018, and that was followed by the Beast from the East and very cold weather. However, it also happened in 2019, and it was followed by not only normal weather. So the first thing is, you're not going to see any headlines telling you that this is going to be the same as 2019 when nothing happened. So if you're, you know, because I've got a lot of people messaging me, Greg, who are worried about the heating bills and they're worried about the cost of this and getting their ESB bills and their gas bills and filling up the oil tanks after Christmas. The main thing is not to panic, not to worry. There is no guarantee that we're going to see a beast from the east. In fact, it's probably at least less than 50-50 chance that we'll see cold. I don't even mean beast from the east, I just mean cold. So it does increase our chances of seeing more blocked northern kind of colder weather like we saw in December, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And even if we do see colder weather with blocked, it doesn't mean it's going to be anything like what we saw in 2018. So for the moment, it's wait and see. Mm. It takes about 2 to 3 weeks for the any impacts, if there are any impacts, to come down and really see it on our levels.
And you make a really good point too, in terms of, you know, weather forecasting, all that sensational weather stuff, which we all kind of love, Alan. It's some of the most clicked stuff on websites and what have you. But because it means so much to people now in terms of the cost of living and what have you, I think those newspaper headlines or wherever they are take on a different importance for people. So when we talk about us, right, is it likely that this event in the stratosphere will create cold weather somewhere? Do you know what I mean? Is it that it might not reach us, or it might not generate this weather event anywhere at all?
It may not reach the troposphere, which is the area closer to us, which means it won't really have any impact at all. But there are chances, the chances of it having some impact are higher than normal. But even if it does have an impact, you're dead right in terms of that. It could bring very cold weather to parts of, say, for example, east of England. You know, we could see the Beast from the East come as far as England and not reach us. I mean, this morning it was 10 degrees in many parts of Ireland. It was -5 degrees in parts of central UK. So, you know, we have to be careful as well, because I know a lot of, especially, you know, a lot of people looking for weather stories will find stories from the UK and they'll find headlines in the UK, and that may not apply to us. So, yes, even if we do see an impact on the lower atmosphere, it may not reach us. But really, the main thing for now is let's enjoy the next couple of days where it's going to be mainly dry, and let's not worry about what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time, because if I could tell you that, Greg, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be off doing the lottery.
You'd still talk to us. Come here. You're funny you mentioned, you know, weather stories from England being sort of transcribed for us here. We get that in the Northwest, weather events in Dublin, because they obviously get more attention in the national media. And then people presume whatever's about to happen in Dublin, it's presented as if it will happen everywhere. But sure, we know that's simply not the case all the time. Listen, Alan, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, you too, Greg.
Take care, bye-bye. Alan O'Reilly of Carlo Weather. So we may see, the chances of extreme cold weather have slightly increased, but there's no guarantees because this event in the stratosphere has happened in the past and nothing came from it. All right, there you go. But we have an obsession with the weather. We love talking about the weather, Michael, don't we?
Big time, yeah. It's a comfort area in conversation, you know. Yeah. It's something you comfortably chat about, you know.
Okay. You mentioned, it was off air, you mentioned that you tried the Pamela Anderson documentary, but you just weren't in the frame of mind for it, is it? Or was it a turn off?
Yeah, I know we talked about it last week and we kind of said, well, naturally, you boys
didn't
bother. Talked about it last week and we said we would watch it and talk about it this week, but I kind of watched the first beginning of it and I was...
Just weren't in the zone or it just was not really engaging?
I suppose it's kind of a story that you already know, so it's very much... Like said, it's getting very good reviews and she's coming across very well in it and she's getting very positive.
Friends of mine have seen it, two guys who neither of them would be into Baywatch or into her and watched
unlike
it
you.
And said to me, you'd love it. She comes across as a lovely person in it. This is what they both said to me.
To some extent, really I think nice even in the show, she did come off as a sympathetic. Yeah. I don't want to rehash what we said, but she did come off quite a sympathetic character, I think, in the TV show. Yeah. I watched the first episode of that dog show that you mentioned as well.
It's insane.
It's just a wee bit off the chain.
The rich dog, the dog who has yachts and things.
It's probably interesting.
Did you find the Italian?
What I don't understand is, and maybe it becomes clear as it goes on, it's what's someone's millions? What's the name of the dog's millions?
Gunther's
millions. Like, I'm not clear. People aren't whistleblowing. The organisation seemed very complicit in it, in the making of this, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's kind of warts and all, as if they've said, right, this has been a secret long enough, let's just throw it out there. You know, you've got the lawyer who's still the lawyer, who's, you know, quite honest.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got the head guy, whose name escapes me at the moment. And it's all like we thought he needed a yacht. So I thought it was all going to be cloaks and daggers, but it's really quite out there.
No.
They are quite,
even when it ends up becoming temporarily becoming a sex cult, they're very much like, well, that was strange how that ended up becoming a sex cult.
Yeah,
and then they get rid of it and they move on to the next thing, which in turn slowly starts ebbing towards the direction of becoming a sex cult. And then they stop and they do something else again.
Money is so corruptive.
Basically, that's really what it is. It's not that any of them kind of feel bad about what they've done, or it's not like it's like somebody who's escaped from
this
life.
In the first episode,
like their spokesperson is still the spokesperson.
Of course, exactly. And the girl that she speaks negatively of her boss effectively, which I thought, hold on a second. But anyway, also there's this bit where the dog, they buy Madonna's mansion, right? And the dog goes over to buy the mansion. And it's just a dog, right? And then the part of it is like the media's all shocked that it wasn't actually the dog. It was a clone dog or a replacement dog or,
because the dog can't live forever.
Yeah, but they had a stunt dog. And I was like, well, the press were really upset that the dog that was buying the mansion wasn't the actual dog. Anyway, that's how bizarre it is.
That's what I mean. You go for the dog, stay for the crazy.
It's
just the bizarreness of it is what'll keep you watching.
And there is good access. And I think the best documentaries have good access to the subject matter or good footage of it. And that, for me, is always the under... But I'll tell you one thing, right? The next documentary maker that knowingly asks questions on camera
without a microphone,
but doesn't put a microphone on,
you're just going to track them down and give them a good talk to.
You don't understand what the point is. So many of them do it.
Just put a microphone on.
You just think it must be something that they're taught in film school. And you're like,
it's 100% that. It is 100% that.
But I don't understand what the reasoning is. You know,
it's
like
the it feels sort of it feels
edgy
like
and real.
They feel like, oh, I'm a journalist and I just thought of a good question. Yeah. And, I didn't know I was going to ask the question because it just come to me and I didn't have a mic and... Just put a microphone on.
Yeah, that's why I can never understand exactly what the premise is or the reasoning, because everything has a reason behind it.
Michael Leddy's gone because he only had two things, which I think he's trying to send us a message. So, what do you want to pick out here? Because, as I say, stuff goes down here, and then do you just want to both talk about the 90s show? Because you've got it down on this.
Oh, yeah.
You've had it down previously.
It.
So,
now.
Is it any good? What is the basis of these shows?
No. It's brilliant.
Basically, if you remember back in the day, the 70s show was out.
No, I don't.
And
you're too young.
The 70s show was just all about a group of teenagers. The 70s show came out in the 90s, and it was about a group of teenagers in the 70s. It was really a sitcom. It was like a half-hour
show. It was very like Friends.
Right, okay.
Very like Friends.
It was about this small group of friends. It's where Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Topher Grace.
The redhead one was already something. And
Laura Prepon.
So you sort of, the idea being you watch it and you sort of remember the 70s.
The 70s,
that's
yeah.
It,
a bit
exactly.
of nostalgia there.
That's
as well.
Exactly what it was. So it was all,
and
what,
the main character was obsessed with a brand new film called Star Wars and he kept talking about it. Yeah.
And it just was all these, and they were sitting around in their basement playing. It just was very nice, really fun. Now, obviously, we had connections to people of our age because we would have been, well, I was younger in the 70s than a teenager, but you still would have memories of stuff like that, of things that they were talking about, things that were happening. The parents, Deborah Jo Rupp and Kurtwood Smith played the parents, were fantastic.
Best thing about it, Red is the best character in the show, the father.
So what they've done now is they've moved forward, and basically two of the characters in the 70s show got married and they had a kid, and this is that kid doing the exact same
natural
thing.
Natural progression.
Staying with her grandfather
with
and grandma
her grandparents
for the summer.
For the summer. And
of 1996, isn't it? 1995, 96.
We're down to 60 seconds.
This is a very funny show. It's every bit as good as the original.
It includes
a lot of the cast of the original. And yes. particularly Kurtwood Smith as Red, who is
good.
So good in this. And Deborah Jo Rupp
as
fabulous. And I'm about halfway through the season. I'm warm into the new kids.
It's 50-50 on yeah and yeah. no's at the moment.
We should have we time, Greg, myself and Vanilla, we'll arm wrestle it out and decide whether this is a good show or not. I'm on for an arm wrestle. Let's do it.
I don't want to humiliate you
What about edgy journalism, Greg? What about edgy
not journalism?
Look, it's worth checking into. It's not doing very
wrestling,
well.
Sort of in the sports entertainment, but it's not journalism.
You gave that a lot of thought.
All right, listen.
It's on Netflix. People can watch it and judge for themselves. But
don't.
If
you back Michael, you do. If you back Fanula, you don't. Listen, thanks so much
for
joining us. We really appreciate it. Michael, Letty, Fanula, Rabbit, back with you, all being well, next Friday. That's where we have to leave it on the show. Thanks very much for listening to the programme, getting involved in it. Thanks to Donna Marie, who researched and produced. Have a great weekend. We're back with you on Monday at 9.